This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Mute.
And on the other
setting.
Hand, they saw their sin.
The audio.
Yeah, it's working.
Supposed to come USB audio codec. Sound not good, right? We'll see what we do actually.
Can you add this right now?
Put on here.
Yeah.
You know what? Wasn't supposed to be done. Right? Will be PNP audio device. This is done.
The story was of how a servant should be humble and mindful of the wrong they have done to themselves first and foremost, and then how they have violated the right that Allah Azza wa Jalla has over them. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The hypocrites will be in the lowest pit of the fire of hell. وَلَن تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. And they will find no help. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Except for those who repent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who rectify their deeds. For those people, Allah says, they will be with the believers. Hypocrisy is such a great sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just mentioned that the hypocrite will be in the lowest pit of the fire of hell. If this is the outcome of a munafiq, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to forgive them if they are sincere and they turn to Allah, then what about people that sincerely love Allah but have made mistakes along the way? Allah Azza wa Jalla is awaiting them, and therefore in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Call out to me, I shall respond to your response, to your call. Similarly, Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Why do they not turn to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness? So now we see that the role of tawbah is central in our deen. When a person engages in tawbah, there is a great deal of humility at display. You're no longer viewing yourself as entitled to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, that God owes this to you. You're humbling yourself and appreciating, understanding that coming in the sin without any way to exit, without confessing your sin. In Islam, we have no such concept. We aren't wishful and overly optimistic that we ignore our flaws. We are honest that we have done wrong. And yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful beyond you and I will ever be capable of describing with our limited, deficient words. But there is a path to attaining that mercy. There is a level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that is aam in general to every person, obedient or disobedient. But then there is a second element of that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is specific to those that are loyal to Allah. So if you open up the tafsir books and look at what the scholars say about the statement, Bismillahir Rahman Ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So the question is, what's the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim when both of these words originate from the same root word, which is mercy. What's the difference? There must be a difference. The Quran is pure of any form of redundancy. So now the ulama engage in a lengthy discussion. Qadi al-Baydawi in his tafsir provides multiple possibilities and interpretations. And one of the common interpretations Mufassirun hold here is they say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ay Rahman al-Dunya wa Rahim al-Akhirah. Rahman al-Dunya wa Rahim al-Akhirah. Meaning that this sifa of mercy of Allah that we refer to when we say ar-Rahman is a mercy that is manifested in this world to the believer and the Quran. وَرَحِيمَ الْآخِرَةِ When we say الرَّحِيم, we are referring to that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is caused specific with the believers and will then present itself to those people who are loyal to Allah, رَحِيمَ الْآخِرَةِ in the hereafter. So, this was the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just engaged in humility and humbleness in front of Allah. His sins. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ didn't commit sins, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's actions and the possibility of those actions not being fit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands was on the mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophets of Allah did not commit sins. This is the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, al-Anbiya al-Ma'asum. The Prophets of Allah are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what allows us to imitate every single action of theirs, because there is no ihtimal, possibility of any form of influence from shaitan or the evil nafs when it comes to the Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when it comes to tawbah, the ulama have listed certain conditions. These conditions are well known, some of them. Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Riyad al-Saliheen, famous book of hadith, he lists out some of these conditions. The first thing the ulama say, from the first condition of tawbah is an-nadama, that a person feels guilt and remorse over the sin they've committed. You can't be proud of your sin and expect for your repentance to be sincere. It first starts with feeling guilty over the wrong that you've done. Setting your moral compass straight. A person that does wrong and justifies it and is unwilling to accept they've done wrong has no tawbah. They can keep their words and put it in their own pocket. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of any person's insincere statements. He is al-ghani. This is why the ulama say that the tawbah of a mubtada is the most difficult. A person that engages in innovation will find it most difficult to engage in tawbah, because the innovator views his action to be virtuous. So why would he ever repent from it? He needs to acknowledge that what he has done is wrong. And the nature of shaitan, and by extension, the satanic environment that we live in, is to go above and beyond to justify and legitimize every sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated in Revelation. Every sin. There is no longer a sin that is viewed as foul in our society. Every action could be justified. If not in our community, then in another community, and in a third community, by the time you make your way around the world, you'll see that the moral compass of the human beings has been heavily influenced by shaitan. What was understood to be wrong today is okay. What is okay tomorrow will be wrong. The Quran sets our moral compass straight. These are rights, these are wrongs. When you do a right, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Attribute it to Allah, don't attribute it to yourself. Appreciate the hard work that went into it, but attribute the action to Allah, because He is the one that is deserving of praise. We got lucky this time, and that was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us and gave us tawfiq. Otherwise, without his tawfiq, any and all actions would be impossible. No person can walk towards Allah without the kun, the permission, the amr, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. when you find yourself in gatherings of knowledge, when you find yourself in an environment that you are growing, look around and you'll notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the opportunity to be there, not everyone. And the fact that you're here, you're in the masjid, you've prayed salah in jama'ah, you're reading Quran, you're in a gathering of knowledge in an environment of righteous people, in itself is proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special fadl and His kindness, generosity, His bounty, His favor is directed at you. So keep your head lowered down, be humble, and walk the path the way it deserves to be walked on. Fix yourself, pull yourself together. Because opportunities only present themselves so many times before Allah Azza wa Jal then takes that and sends it to someone else who will actually appreciate it. And then the opportunities that you had, unfortunately, will become a hujjah, a proof against you, that you had the chance, and yet you still wasted it. فَلَا تُلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ As Shaytan will say on the Day of Judgment, don't blame me, blame yourselves. You got yourself in this big hole that you find that you're sitting in right now. So Shaytan's task is to justify the sin, justify the action. So the human being continues to be swallowed into the earth that you are standing on and find yourself in a truly compromised place. You can't allow that perspective to change. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something is haram, it is haram. And that's final. People tend to justify sin so it weighs lighter on their conscience. It helps them get through the day. But better than that, rather than finding a faulty way to live with a stain, what's better is to remove the stain by tawbah. There are two ways a person can deal with a sin. Either you can make yourself arrogant and boastful and neglecting, putting yourself in a greater sin. Or you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, be humble, and try even better next time. And if you fail, try again. And if you fail, try again. And if you fail, try again. There is a wisdom in sins. A person is able to see that far. The wisdom is that it keeps us humble. When a person does good deeds and they're on a roll of doing good, doing good, doing good, Shaitan then comes with another tool from another pathway, and he begins to whisper arrogance into their ears. You're special. Look at the guys around you, they're all dummies. Look at these sisters around you, they're all going to be in the fire of hell. Look at you, you're so special. So when a person sins and they're able to see the sin and acknowledge the wrong they've done and they turn back to Allah, it humbles them. It takes them from this inflated, bloated state down to earth. That I'm thankful to Allah for the good that I do. And I'm also thankful to Allah who allowed me to see the truth in my sin and gave me the ability to turn back to Him. One of the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I believe is more important than I could say in our day and age, with all the skewing of moral values. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made du'a, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa arzuqna ittiba'ah. وَأَلِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلَ وَرَزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابًا Allow us to see truth as truth and follow it. And allow us to see falsehood as falsehood and avoid it. Save our substance. So the first thing is النَّدَامَة. We all know that if a person comes to you and says sorry and they don't really mean it, they have no regret and remorse, that sorry of theirs is actually an insult. They're trying to get you off their back. Your child says to their mom or dad after having a fuss, I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry. Hey buddy, that's the wrong tone. That's not the tone for sorry. The tone for sorry is you lower your gaze in a humble voice, you acknowledge your flaw, and you carefully measure your words, and you ask yourself if you really mean it, and then you say it. That's nadama. That's tawbah. The second condition is to remove yourself from the sin. This is not in any particular order. If we were going by order, the ulama generally list the second one first. al-iqda'u and al-dhanb, they list that first, and then al-nadama, they list that one second. Al-iqda'u and al-dhanb. This basically means to withdraw from the sin. If you're doing something that's wrong, you have to end it. You can't continue to do wrong and then say, I'm repenting, like someone who is actively hitting another person and then says that I'm repenting to Allah from oppression. That doesn't work. Someone who's actively stealing people's money and oppressing them, and then at the same time says, oh Allah, forgive me for taking people's money. That doesn't work. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warns us of this. He tells us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually says in one riwayah, unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluman, help your brother if he is the oppressor or the oppressed. The companions of the Messenger of Allah, we understand what it means to help the oppressed. What does it mean to help the oppressor? The Prophet of Allah says, help him by stopping the oppression. Because the moment he stops the oppression, he is now in a better place. He has to stop the unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluman. The third condition is to commit, even if it's just in that moment, commit, but sincerely commit. I'm not going to do this again. There is a possibility you might engage in that sin again. That's okay. What matters is this moment. You can't forecast what will happen in the future. If we hedged ourselves against our should reflect over it and learn your lesson from the past. Neither should you be so terrified of the future that you are paralyzed to act in the present. Focus on where you are today. In this moment, I can turn to Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness and ask Him for strength and ask Him to pardon me and be with me in my weak moments and also in my strong times. That's what we're looking for. When it comes to a sin and repenting from it, you must commit in that moment that, Ya Allah, I will not return back to this sin. And you have to be there. This teaches us, this condition is powerful because this condition shows us that you can't just say astaghfirullah on the fly. Because in order for your astaghfirullah to count, for that condition to be there, for that atubu ilayk to count, you have to be all in. That I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to leave the sin. That's buy-in right there. I have regret and remorse, further buy it. And now I'm making a commitment, I'm not going to go back to it. That basically means, Ya Allah, I am done with this. I see the heart of it. When we were students, one time we were sitting in class and one of our mashayikh, he was running a little late for the dars. So we were sitting in class and one of my classmates who sat next to me, he said, you know what, let's use this time and let's engage in a discussion.
It's good.
So one of them asked, how does a person truly leave sin? That was a question.
No, no, no.
There was a few of us that were sitting in the corner and we started choosing ideas. I remember someone said that every time you sin, you should punish yourself.
No, this is society. No,
I mean, and someone said every time you commit a sin, you should penalize yourself.
This is
not
just that.
How people do that?
It is
every time you do
the power. It doesn't matter. We did actually.
So one of the students, he said something.
That's only for.
And the more I thought about it, the longer it became clear. But all the other answers were correct in their own way. But this was the actual set of everything for them. And he said the only way for a person to truly leave sin is to change your perspective of the sin, and you have to learn to hate it just as you love
it. Off the other mics, or the other
and for that, you have to think of what this sin is actually. You have to go deep. Engage with the sin. Sit down in a room, on a chair yourself, and put the sin on the chair in front of you.
It was working.
And try to understand what's going on. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me this is haram? Once you understand that, once you understand the harm that is coming from here, not just to you as an individual, but to the people that are involved in the sin, if you're listening to something or watching something, and the people at large that are being influenced by the sin, because every sin has a trickle down effect. Why is it that riba is so haram in our deen? Why is it? Well, it's because it breaks trust. And trust is the fundamental glue to brotherhood, sisterhood, humanity. If I can't trust the person next to me because this person has in front of me ratted someone else out or is ratting me out to another person, now this person is crossed off brotherhood in my book. I can't trust this person anymore. Now, the other person who isn't speaking about other people behind their back, this other individual, a conversation with this person might be a little bit more tasteless. They may not have the same flavor, not the same joy. But in terms of longevity, this relationship's going to make it. In terms of longevity, that first relationship with the person that is riba is not going to make it far. If you have any decency, any intellect to you, you will distance yourself from that person over a period of time because that person is not trustworthy. Even in your own marriage, you won't be able to hack that person. At the beginning, it'll be fun. Maybe a few months, a few years, you'll enjoy that person's company. But there's only so much time before the barrel is pointed at your head. And then you'll feel betrayed and broken. Because that trust is what we
need.
Every person needs that trust. This is an impact of sin. So once you understand sin and its impact, it'll be much easier to avoid the sin. This is what we call in psychology positive and negative associations. Positive and negative associations. This is a tried and tested approach. That if someone is addicted to something, what you need to do is change their perspective on it through clear messaging and repetition. If there's clear messaging and repetition, with time, what is viewed praiseworthy in their eyes will become blameworthy. Case study, smoking cigarettes. This is the reason why that message exists on every pack of cigarettes. With time, no matter how many times you ignore, you might ignore that message for 5 years, but every time there's a little knock on the door, a little knock, a little knock, a little knock. And studies show that in countries where that message is clearly posted over a period of time, over a duration, smokers have gone down. It's all about positive and negative. And this is why you have to be careful of your media consumption. If you're consuming TV and movies and wholesales abundantly all day, every day, you're allowing people to make positive and negative associations of things that are other than revelation. And this is why in the Quran we're told true. That's why it's called the Quran. You guys know what the word Quran means? What does that word linguistically mean? Something that's read. Something that's read often, frequently. Because the more you read it, those associations sit in. That perspective sits in. That I am here in this world for a limited time. My ultimate abode is the Akhirah. In Akhirah, in Jannah, in Nar. Either a person ends up in the paradise or they find themselves. Either you find yourself in paradise or either you find yourself in the fire of hell. It's one of those two abodes that I'm going to be in. So choose wisely. Allah tells us X, Y, and Z, 1, 2, 3 are haram. Avoid them altogether. So as you read them, that perspective settles in. And a part of, for those of you that are in a role of tarbiyah or have family with you, this is why you have to have these conversations together about what is right and what is wrong. What is right? These things are right. Helping another person understand what's right here. Helping another individual understand what's wrong here. Because once they come to that conclusion, now that thought just needs to sit there, but they have to accept the conclusion. They really have to. You can't just tell them. If you tell someone something's right or wrong, the results may come over a period of time. If the other side has a louder speaker, your voice will get dulled and numbed out. But if they come to that conclusion, as a parent, teacher, sibling, if you're able to help a person come to a conclusion, you can walk away because the seed is now in their heart and their moral compass, their fitrah, will lead them back to what's right. So, al-azmu ala adam al-awda. You commit to not engaging in the sin. The fourth thing the ulama, they say, is radd al-madalim. This is more specific to hubuq al-ibad. When it comes to violating the rights of other human beings, one of the conditions is that you then return those rights. If you've taken something from someone, give it back to them. If you said something to someone, apologize to them. And don't let the fact that they said something to you stop you from apologizing for the wrong that you've done. If you don't settle the matter in the dunya, if you don't settle the matter in the dunya, ultimately all matters will be settled in the akhirah. There's a whole day dedicated to this, referred to as Yawm al-Hisab. Whole day dedicated to this. All justice will be served. And the fourth condition, the ulama, they say, is for your tawbah to occur before that window is shut. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in one narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the tawbah of the servant ma lam yughadir, until death doesn't come to him. And that can come at any moment for any of us. One of our dear students from Qalam, Shahir, his brother who was older than him, young man, he passed away. Allah alhamdulillah, last week, healthy man, and he didn't wake up. Less than a week ago. People leave the dunya. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Nisa, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ. That a person is tawbah at the time of their death, Allah says, لَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ. There is no tawbah for that person who does tawbah at that point. Your tawbah should occur earlier on in your life, while the opportunity exists. Day or night, that's up to you. In one riwayat, the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيَ النَّهَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends his hand in forgiveness for those during the night, for those who sin during the day. وَيَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيَ اللَّيْلِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends his hand of forgiveness during the day for those who wish to repent for their sins of the night. حَتَّى تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, until the sun sets from the west. When the sun sets from the west, from the signs of the final hour, when the sun rises from the west. حَتَّى تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ. When the sun rises from the west, from the signs of the final hour, then that door will be closed and there will be no tawbah anymore. So with this, I leave you with this advice that as Ramadan approaches and as those days come close, the days of barakah and khayr, utilize the time that you have to make tawbah. Pray 2 rak'ah, turn to Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness. Be sincere. Dedicate time. You deserve this. This is something that you should give to yourself as a welcoming Ramadan. That I'm doing this for myself. And then once you experience the sweetness of tawbah, keep going. Build this into your daily routine that you do istighfar every single day. Istighfar is so important. Without this, only Allah knows what we will face on the Day of Judgment. Deeds that we have no idea of. I think of, the other day, some time back, I was driving the car and the kids were in the car, and we went through one of those car wash things. Kids love it, all the color falls on the car. Meaningless color, but they love it, right? And all these things like a monster swallowing your car from all directions. They have a new story every time, and how we endure and come out on the other end successful. So we went through one of those car washes, the car was nice and clean. I think less than a week later, I ran out of gas. I pulled up to a gas station and I said to one of the boys, that stick thing they have at gas stations to clean the windshield? I said, get that thing and clean the windshield. So he said, Abba, we just washed the car. And I said to them, this is the reality of life. You clean something and casual occurrences happen. And as a result of that, your windshield gets dirty again. And this is why in our deen we are told to do tawbah all the time. And I said to them, every time you clean this windshield for the rest of your life, I want you to remember the lesson of tawbah. And you just keep cleaning, keep cleaning, keep cleaning, keep cleaning. Like a person brushing their teeth, like a person washing their hair, like a person cutting their nails. It's us removing filth, and the lesson is that every time you remove filth from your body, in a physical sense, you should remember the spiritual cleansing that is required as well. Allah said, "Inna Allah yuhibbu al-tawabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin." Allahumma ja'alni min al-tawabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Oh Allah, min al-tawabin. Allahumma ja'alni min al-tawabin. Oh Allah, make me from those who repent frequently. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make that dua after doing wudu, after washing himself. And that first ayah that I referenced is, I feel bad, this is Shaykh Mubasir calling, but I have to do this. Okay, there we go. What was I saying to you guys? Yeah, that ayah. That ayah, according to the Aam Tafsir, was revealed regarding the people of Quba. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, because it says, right, لَمَسْجُدُ الْمُسِسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَقُومَ فِيهِ فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَتَطَهَرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِرِينَ. So, the companions asked from Messenger of Allah, why is it that Allah is praising the people of Quba? So, in one riwayah, the Prophet of Allah said, because when they do istinja, when they clean themselves after using the bathroom, they use water and stones. They would use these clay stones to remove impurity, and then some people would use water. But these people would use both. So Allah praised them for being excessively clean and going above and beyond. And that's physical impurity. But Allah says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin." That's another ayah. But you guys, the Surah Tawbah ayah that I was referring to earlier. And how Allah praises them for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and make this Ramadan Mubarak for us. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, we will be putting a pause to our Tuesday halqa, inshallah, and we'll start again after Ramadan. Usually we take 1 week break after Eid. We'll see if we do or not. We'll announce it. As for Ramadan, the routine and schedule is going to be, we'll have our same schedule every year, alhamdulillah, we've been doing it for 7 years, we're going to continue it. After 4 rak'ah, we'll have our daily khatimah, inshallah. Every year we do a new series. Last year was Traversing the Path to Allah, Treading the Path to Allah. I really enjoyed that series. And this year, inshallah, I'm planning to do a series titled Living with the Righteous, where every day we'll be discussing certain aspects of the lives of the righteous and lessons that we can learn from there and how we can improve ourselves overall and specifically in the month of Ramadan. Tomorrow will be the first Taraweeh prayer after Isha Salah. I encourage you all to join us, inshallah. And one other advice is that tomorrow, being the first night of Ramadan, before wudu, try to find yourself in the masjid. Make a dua of Allah. Let the Ramadan enter upon you while your hands are raised in front of your Lord. InshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For something that starts good, the hope is that it will end good too. Wassalamu ala Nasina Muhammad, salamu alaykum. Hold off on calling the Adhan for a few minutes because there are those who need to leave, and we'll call the Adhan in about 10 minutes.